When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 857. I am Brian Kilby. With me this week, we have Chris first.
Hey. Oh, wow. How special.
Yep. I'm Matt.
Hello.
Rob.
Hello.
Don and Diecast.
Straight Don. From Georgia.
Straight from Georgia. You were in Georgia?
I was in Atlanta today, yeah.
Today?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's just got drive. Back.
Did you hang out with Rob Springer?
No. I sent him a message saying, hey,
that's
I'm
a short flight.
Going to be down there. I was like, are you free? He was like, nope. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, how long was your flight? Like 2.5-3 hours?
2 hours.
That's
yeah, fine. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And now I just realized something. I know who Diecast reminds me of now. It's been bugging me for years, and I finally figured it out. Vance, the replacement cousin from Dukes of Hazzard. That's who he reminds me.
One of the replacement cousins.
Yeah, but he definitely reminds me of more Vance than Coy, the replacement cousins from the Dukes of Hazzard for that one season. That's
did
what he Don, reminds me
did
of.
Did Diecast replace somebody on the show, or was he like an extra addition? I can't remember.
I don't remember if there was ever any crossover between him and Peter.
Maybe. Okay, so if Peter was, say, Bo, Diecast is Vance, but Vance hung around a lot longer. So there you go.
Well, that whole season is forgettable anyway.
Yeah. But you know what's not forgettable? This episodes of Sanford and Son where Grady took over Fred's spot during the contract dispute with Red Fox. And hey, so Toys for Tots, Elf on a Shelf Warmer, it's that time of year. There are so many kids out there who are in need of some generosity this holiday season. Again, you know, my kids are adopted from foster care. I worked at a children's home. It's just horrible the level of neglect a lot of these kids out there see. And a lot of times it's not because the parents don't love the kids. They're just in a bad way and they're not able to give them the things that they need, with just a little generosity by dropping a toy in a box. I mean, it could be like a $10 Marvel Legends toy at Ollie's. Just doing that will literally make the difference between a child having a Merry Christmas and potentially nothing at all. So, consider donating, pick up, you know, a Bumblebee. What's Legacy Wave 1? What's setting out now?
Well, I mean, most of that stuff is now in those 2-packs at Walmart. Okay. If your Walmart is actually putting them out as 2-packs, that's a whole different thing though.
I still have stuff sitting on pegs from 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you can find Laser Cycle from the Toxitron Wave pretty easy.
So a poor kid out there would love a Laser Cycle. So consider
there's a ton of lower end Rise of the Beast stuff too. Like,
don't buy
you
that
know, action feature. Well, action feature toys and stuff are
yeah.
fine.
Yeah, no, seriously. Yeah, seriously though, kids would appreciate anything. You know, honestly, my kids like they love the box that the toy came in. So a friend of mine, he always wanted to buy the nicest, most expensive toys when, you know, doing Dropbox donations. And that's well and good. But again, for the most part, kids don't care. I go for the shotgun approach. I try to buy as many as I can with the funds that I have. You know, don't buy something that's garbage. Don't go to like I don't know, five, nah, not Five Below. Where, like,
don't buy Authentics. Don't go to Dollar General.
Don't buy Authentics. Don't buy something off Wish.com. But, you know, pick up a nice toy, drop it in a box, and it'll really make the difference.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll be honest, guys, if you're looking for places, look for your Ross, because of we've talked about this over the past few weeks. Also, check your Ollie's, because I posted pictures on my timeline on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4EVR, if you look through my media posts. I mean, massive amounts of product. Marvel Legends, lots of Star Wars.
I just did my drop off on Monday and I got everything at Ollie's because everything is reasonably priced. It's good toys and they had a drop off in store
at the register.
Yeah. And just a mat. I mean, for girls, boys, kids.
Get a slinky.
Yeah. I mean, like,
good for both.
We talk a lot about stuff that's aimed at, you know, older kids, you know, the 8 to 14 range, but like, 40, remember
45.
Okay, they don't need the toys for tots as bad as some of the other kids, some of the younger kids. But, like, you know, don't forget, like, you know, the 3 to 7 year olds need the stuff just as bad. Go a couple aisles over to where those younger kid toys are. You know, find some stuff there that is suitable for kids of that age and drop a few of those things in there too, because they need that every bit as much as the older kids need the collector stuff that we don't want.
Yeah. So, yeah, totally. If you don't want to go out, like, I'm lazy when it comes to shopping now, I don't go out. We do have a wish list on Amazon at tfradio.net/elf. We get no referral fees from that. You can have the stuff shipped to your home and you can drop that off in a box, or from that wish list, you can ship it to me and then I will drop it off in a donation box here local to the Charlotte, North Carolina area. Now, I would much prefer that you do this for your own local community. But if you don't want to, can't, and you still want to support, you can go to tfradio.net/elf, buy something. There's some very reasonably priced things there. They'll come to me. I will drop it off in a Toys for Tots box. I just did a drop off Saturday, and I'll give you a shout out and share it on social media. Also, you know, we don't use Twitter as much as we used to. I don't know why. But if on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, drop off something, do hashtag elf on a shelf warmer. And if I remember to look at Twitter again, I will go in and retweet it. So awesome. Well, with that being said, there was a Transformers Tuesday.
Yes. On Tuesday this week.
Yeah. And we saw the reactivate stuff and some other Studio Series stuff.
Mm-hmm. The Studio Series stuff that they had revealed at MCM. London.
Yeah,
they just wanted to give the other members of the design team a chance to talk a little bit more about it.
How about that sound wave?
Well, it's all right.
It's a sound wave.
I'm not buying it. I said I was going to go get that Optimus Prime Soundwave 2-pack immediately. I don't know that I need it bad enough now.
Like, I mean, I think you look fine.
It's okay.
The weakest one of the group.
Yes, I was just going to say that.
Yeah. It does not strike me the way some of the others did. I'm not feeling that one. But you know,
I feel like part of that might just be the constraint of making a sound wave. Like the character itself, I think, probably dictated a little bit of how the design had to work, and that limited what the toy could be engineering wise.
Yeah, quite possibly so.
I think it's a fine sound wave. Vehicle some pictures nice. Made it look a little lanky. But I keep the more and more I look at it, the more and more I'm okay with it.
I think a lot of that is also just bad photography.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of bad photography in that. It's Masterpiece Ironhide all over again.
Yeah. I hate to say it, but for once the unofficial pictures actually look better to me than the official ones of that sound wave.
Yeah.
A little bit.
But I don't know that we knew Masterpiece Ironhide was Masterpiece Ironhide until we had it in hand and said, oh, this isn't that bad. So maybe when Chris or whoever gets it in hand, we'll see. Like, I think the vehicle mode is fine. But, yeah. Like, I don't like Soundwave as a non-tank. So not vehicle-wise anyway. Of course, he should be a cassette deck. But I'm just not feeling it. I'm skipping.
Any Soundwave is going to be that way. He's hampered by, you know, the gimmick that Soundwave has to have is the big chest that opens up and launches out little guys. It's going to affect any toy that's ever made.
Of course, I don't think this even launches out the little guys. He just has the big square chest, and that informed like how the engineering had to work. Like, you can
there
see
he is, my mode. Little guy. Isn't he cute?
You can see in the vehicle mode, even, like, you know, they put his Don chest door as the whole, I got it too, I was just ignoring it. His chest door is the whole surface of the truck's hood, and that, like, that looks really weird for one thing, but, like, you know, you can kind of see just from that, like, they had to do, like, special hoops to get Soundwave to look like Soundwave in robot mode and take on a recognizable vehicle form. Yeah. I think Brian's right about the tank idea, though. If they would have juggled this around a little bit, maybe not put Starscream in a set and made Soundwave the Voyager to the Bumblebee 2-pack and made, like, a Machine Wars-style tank.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, that, I think that would have been a lot better option for Soundwave in this setting. But like Rob said, I think the Soundwave is it's the weakest of these four toys that we've seen, but I don't think it's bad outright. Yeah. It just is not, it doesn't live up to the other three, especially that Optimus, which I think everybody pretty universally loves.
It's nice.
Yeah. It is.
That's the reason I'm getting this pack, is for that Optimus. I mean, I'm okay with Soundwave. I wouldn't buy him by himself. But I'm okay with getting him with the Optimus Prime. Now I'm actually waiting on the Bumblebee and Starscream set, because I don't care for that much, and I have a feeling these might clearance out.
So they did say during the stream that this batch of the toys was a limited release, so there's probably not as huge a quantity of them. But they also predicted that they would sell through quickly, and they're still up for pre-order literally everywhere that was carrying them.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I think with Soundwave not being a tape deck, it also goes with how is his character portrayed, like Transformers Prime. Soundwave was a drone, but it kind of makes sense for him to have, was it Laserbeak or Ratbat that he
Laserbeak.
Had? It was Laserbeak. Okay, I can't remember which one it was. But it kind of made sense in the fiction that he was with. With us not having really any fiction to go by, other than a video game that we have no idea when it's coming out, realistically.
If it's coming out.
So, I mean, you know, if we see how he is in the game, that may help us see the toy differently based on where it's from.
And the toy will no longer be available at that point.
Exactly. So it's kind of like you have, it's like BotCon sets. That's why the fiction to me is always important in a BotCon set, so you can see the characters in this snippet of the environment. With these figures, there's nothing. It's just figures in a void, and we have nothing to go by.
Like, now,
One interesting tidbit that they did flip during talk about the development of these, this was during Lenny's time working on the brand, because they specifically said that he and one of the Japanese designers, I think it was on Starscream in particular, that they were working on that together.
Cool. Like, just going back to something Don said, like, not even, like, I'm assuming there's not even, like, really a tech spec or much in way of that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so, like, yeah, there's, like, no fiction. There's, like, nothing to excite the imagination, just a toy.
It's like Power Core Combiners. You have a toy with nothing to anchor it to anything. It's just a toy floating in the void. And, yeah, that's great for making up your own imagination, but mm-hmm. even the best imaginations need something to start with.
Yeah. Okay. Peter Cullen to receive Lifetime Achievement Award at the Children's Academy Awards.
I'll say hell yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, Academy Awards is the...
The Emmys.
Oscars. It's the Emmys. Wait, the Motion Picture Academy is the Oscars, so the Emmy Awards. What's the body that creates the Emmys? It doesn't matter.
Academy he's getting an Emmy. Television Arts and Sciences, something like
yes.
that?
Yes. Thank you, Rob. Yeah, he's getting an Emmy. That's
well-deserved.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is it? I guess
for,
it is.
For his lengthy body of voice work in all sorts of children's media, like, yeah.
What did he do after he left Transformers? Because didn't he retire and just do, like, commercials?
Well, he was Eeyore. He was or is Eeyore.
Oh, Eeyore. Well, yeah, Eeyore. Yeah. Okay. He deserved it just for Eeyore.
A lot of commercials, a lot of, I know he did some voice.
Candyman, farewell to the flesh.
And of course, well, this is pre-Transformers, but of course we all know him as the opening narrator to Voltron.
Voltron, yeah.
Brian.
Yeah.
He was Carr.
Yeah, he was.
He was Carr. There you go. Yes.
I mean, I think, did Frank Welker ever get a Lifetime Achievement Award? Because, like, I think
he deserves it.
Yeah, he's equally deserving.
He's more deserving.
Well, it depends how you feel about, you know, animal noises, since that's a, you know, vast cross-section of...
I mean, how long has he been doing Scooby-Doo?
And Young Spocks.
Since Scooby-Doo was a thing.
Yep.
Yeah, like
68, 67, 68.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is one of the reasons that the Screen Actors Guild passed a rule that a voice actor can do no more than 3 performances in a given voice session, so that they could not hire someone like Frank Welker and then work them to death for 1 session's worth of pay.
Yeah.
For every voice in the show.
I swear there are episodes of Transformers where Frank Welker does half the voices.
Probably.
Yeah.
And Frank Welker was a proto. Well, Scott McNeil is a spiritual successor to Frank Welker, I guess, and as far as Transformers go.
In some sense, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of voice actors that have that kind of wide range, and they have to, you know, they rely on those limits on the session recordings. And then sometimes they, you know, actively subvert them, like, while you see some late 90s, early 2000s anime have a David Lucas credit, when you know full well that Steve Bloom's voice coming out of the character, like, some of the people were actually taking on aliases to get around some of those limits.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, I think Peter Cullen's deserving of the Lifetime Achievement Award for his work in children's television and everything, and as Carr. But yeah, I mean, like, where is Frank Welker's Lifetime Achievement Award then?
I hope he has gotten one, because yeah, he has a tremendous body of work, and he does deserve it too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So in our Discord, tfradio.net/discord, Captain Rufus sums up perfectly. Welker is the inheritor of Mel Blanc.
Basically.
Yeah.
That's absolutely it.
So Welker took over for Scooby in 2002. Like, he's Fred though, right?
Yeah.
I didn't even realize he was Scooby Doo. Like, he's been doing Scooby Doo since like 67 or 68. So yeah,
I think it was originally Don Messick.
He's always been Fred Jones.
Always been Fred. Yeah, I had no idea he was Scooby Doo. So wow.
I mean, he was in the booth already anyway, so why not?
Yeah. that blows my mind, because I had no idea. So cool. Okay.
If you've watched a cartoon ever, you heard Frank Welker perform a role.
Yeah.
At least one.
Uh-huh.
In Demand Toys has promo images of Desaurus, and I want it, and hopefully it'll ship soon. According to that email, it will.
When will then be now? Soon.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, nine more days to make sure your address is updated, so that's probably going to start shipping around the end of November.
Yay! So apparently I'm not the only one who has not gotten a ship notification or a soon to ship notification for the Hiss Tank. So I will never get it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Did you pack it?
Yeah.
I think I asked that last week.
Oh.
I backed it. Other
Are
people,
you sure you didn't cancel?
Right?
Yes, I backed it. I got charged for it. They just haven't, like, it sold so many. I'm certain they're shipping out in more waves than Desaurus. Let's see here. So more new listings found. JT Prime shares. What are the significant ones?
So when the Starseekers listings were dropped, there was an unidentified deluxe on there. I guess it's not really surprising when you think back on it, but we didn't really consider this at the time. The missing deluxe is a Cannonball. Now, Cannonball, you'll remember, traditionally was a redeco of Cybertron Red Alert with an eye patch painted on and a funky skeleton deco on the doors. Mm-hmm. Now, my suspicion here for the mold choice is that they're going to make this out of Legacy Crankcase.
Okay. Why did you have to say that? I was already afraid of that.
It makes the most sense, because there's already a link to that, because they use that Red Alert mold to make Crankcase for the 2007 movie line, and that was, you know, originally intended to be a classics version of that, and Walmart went a different branding on at the time because movie toys were basically literally plated in gold for the, you know, the way they sold.
Have like 5 toys off of that mold, or some variation of that mold.
Yeah.
And it's not nearly as good as the Sideswipe mold that they redid to death.
Well, and certainly not the Crankcase variant of it.
Yeah.
No, I would love for that to be off of a different mold than Crankcase, but like, my instincts and my logic just makes me think immediately, oh, okay, that's going to be a Crankcase redeco / retool.
Well, now, it's, I don't know how much Medics was redone from the previous versions.
It has a new head.
Okay,
or at least a different head.
And they,
is Medics ever coming out?
If Walgreens ever decides to sell it.
Yeah.
And they bundled a bunch of extra weapons in with it.
Right. So, I mean, with that being the most recent mold, they might use that one as being, well, we just ran this. We know it's good. So at least it may be a slightly different mold, but it's still the same crankcase family.
But we don't want it to be the crankcase family at all. That's the point.
Well, I'm just saying, if it has to be one of those versions, at least it's the one that where you get extra stuff. Unless they gated off the extra weapons and stuff.
What I would love to see, and I don't think it wouldn't. I would love to see this be done off of Siege Hound because that's a great mold. But you wouldn't be able to paint on the skeletons on the sides because the side panels of that are made from the feet.
Like, oh yeah,
there's not enough flat surface to tamper that onto.
What about the strong arm slash Alita one slash Minerva mold?
No, you know, as much as we say we've had enough of skids slash crankcase, I'm kind of done with that Alita mold family at this point, unless they do something.
It
like,
was enough for me.
Unless they do something really amazing with it, more so than strong arm, because strong arm definitely could have been better. Also, it's on the small side, like overall, it's not a great choice for that character.
And here's the thing though, Cannonball could be a female name, so they could easily use that strong arm mold and have it be a female Cannonball.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly no reason that they couldn't do that. The other possibility is what we were originally going to for Lockout. They just run it off of one of the deluxe Junkions. You know, an Axle Grease redeco or a Scraphook redeco. You could make that work. It wouldn't be ideal for terms of vehicle deco, but like you could get by, and at least it wouldn't be crankcase.
You could definitely make it look all piratey. It would not be that hard.
Yeah, and especially if they've got like some head sculpt budget to throw at that, like one of those molds with like an eye patch bolted on to one of the face sculpts, like that would totally fit in. Like I would see that all day long. But just every instinct I have says they're just going to run this off of crankcase because like there's a mold family connection there.
Cool.
Now that I'm done crushing Matt's dreams.
What else?
I'm fine because that whole capsule's really not doing much for me anyway.
Yeah.
Fair.
Gonna read this off of here the way it's printed. Transformers Project G Wiz. It's another G.I. Joe and Transformers crossover. So this is saying it's gonna be Sergeant Cup as the Triple T with Sergeant Slaughter and Leatherneck.
I am so in on that.
I'm in on that too.
Brian's gonna buy that too.
Of course I'll buy it. I wish the Transformers were better, but it's what I've always wanted.
So, and it's got Sergeant Slaughter in it.
And it's got Sergeant Slaughter. Like, wait, did Sergeant Slaughter, the classified toy, come out this year? Or was it last year?
Last year. It and the Valorverse version came out both last year.
I got choked up when I opened that toy. I have not been so emotionally affected by a toy. That's the saddest thing I've ever admitted in public. But, like, I got choked up playing with that and opening it. Like, I love Sergeant Slaughter. Maybe not the person, but the G.I. Joe character. So he's an okay guy, but like I love the G.I. Joe character, the idealized fictional version of him, yeah. I'm buying it. But I just hope the toy is better than any of the others that have come before it because you'd hope so.
Like you'd hope each successive one would be better than the one that came before it. Alas, that is far from a guarantee even in, the modern age of Transformers.
I also prefer the Warthog as a Sergeant Slaughter vehicle, by the way. The all-terrain vehicle or whatever it is.
Well, I mean, the Thunder Machine of Soundwave so far looks pretty good.
Has that come out yet?
I'm just saying it looks better in pictures than the Megatron and Bumblebee.
I just don't remember if I have it yet or not, so that's where I'm at in my collecting.
No, I agree with Don, though. Just in terms of the looks to be standing on the shelf somewhere, the Soundwave is the best looking robot that they've come up with. Yeah, that Bumblebee was a travesty. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat this at all. That Bumblebee just should not have been. Okay, so we also have, Don, this may be of interest to you when you can stack up some more Target discounts, Movie Masterpiece Brawl.
Actually, I saw this, and I could really don't care about Brawl. I just...
Oh, okay.
It's again. I don't care about Movie Masterpiece. If I can get it cheap enough, maybe. But it's not seeing them doing not all Megatrons and Optimuses from the movie though.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know how cheap it would have to be for me to buy a Movie Masterpiece toy.
I think a lot of people cheap. I think a lot of people are waiting for Brawl. First, he's a tank. He's a pretty cool tank. That leader Brawl goes for a ton of money. I mean, that was a very popular figure when that came out.
It was a shelf warmer at the Toys R Us near me.
Yeah, that's why it goes for a lot of money.
You know, there's an end cap of it.
Yeah, I bought two and traded them for Chevy Avio Swerve and was happy to do that at the time to actually get a Swerve.
Right.
Well, now it goes for a lot of money. And there's not, you know, if you want something that size, that it's probably still going to be smaller than a leader class.
See, that's the thing. I think Movie Masterpiece Brawl might have like some cross-collecting appeal.
Yeah.
Because it'll be of a size where people who just have a Studio Series collection can look at that and say, you know what? That scales with these toys I have, because that's what a tank size should be compared to all these cars. To Brian's question before about how cheap a Movie Masterpiece has to be before you buy it, for me, that price was $25, and that was with Movie Masterpiece Bumblebee Movie Bumblebee from Ross.
I bought the Movie Masterpiece Megatron that Ross had. I think it was Movie Masterpiece Megatron.
Yep.
For like $25, and I think I donated it to Toys for Tots. So, but I don't think if I found another one for $25, I would buy it. That's just something I have zero interest in.
I bought a Movie Masterpiece Ironhide from Ross for around the same price range, and I think a year later I was able to flip it for a small profit, and like I wasn't interested in it at the time, and it really wasn't. For what I got back out of it, it was not worth the effort to even just have it sitting around. So, like, the Bumblebee I wanted just because, you know, it's Volkswagen Bumblebee, and the design's actually cooler than what's in the movie, so I didn't even care about the inaccuracy because of the lead time and everything. But, yeah, for me, the price to buy a Movie Masterpiece is $25. So the next thing on the list is Transformers Generations, P-Con, Pulse-Con, Direct-to-Consumer, Dino King. So the The long-awaited Dino King box that is going to be a Hasbro Pulse exclusive.
Okay.
Tied to PulseCon, which probably means April or so.
Okay.
I'm glad they did it that way, and we don't have to do a whole nother line of...
I was expecting a box set. I was expecting it to be Generation Selects.
Yeah.
That's how I thought it was going to go. I can understand, though, like, this is going to have to cost about $80 for the toys that are going into it, and I can understand... Their retailers that handle select stuff probably were a little leery of a select product at that price point.
So that is about 48 times less expensive than a G1 Dino King is right now.
I'm glad we had you to do that math, Brian.
Yeah.
Yes, probably the only way I will ever own a Dino King. So,
I'm still not going to own this Dino King because, like, I was optimistic about the idea of this when they announced the start of the core class Dinobots and that combiner project. Having seen how that shaped up in reality over the course of 6 releases, no thank you, sir. I will not have another.
I told you that's how it was going to turn out. No one believed me.
I mean, we like to have optimism and hope, like, you know, as a show rule often. But, like, just personally, I would have loved for that to have turned out way different and better than it did. So I'm not gonna feel bad.
There's an upgrade kit available that helps. And honestly, the Dino King version being more varied in color, I think, will help a lot aesthetically alone.
Yeah, probably so.
Also, to be honest, there is just less expectation with the Dino King characters of them having a specific look and shape than there are with the original Dinobot. So I kind of think that will help temper expectations too.
Yeah, hopefully. What?
Anything else?
I just heard some talking in the background of somebody's audio.
Oh, that's my brother.
Oh, okay.
I was going to ignore it so it would be an easy edit, but now it's a more complex edit. It's okay.
Well, as you make your notes, the next thing up is Transformers Generations Leader Optimus Prime and Autobot Bullseye.
I love it.
This is a Target exclusive, a collaborative item.
Is this the Volvo mold?
I don't think we know one way or another, but that is literally the first thing I thought too when I read this.
This is the Prime one. They just repainted it and put a Bullseye on it.
Yeah, so Bullseye is the name of Target's mascot dog.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to adapt that into the Autobot Bullseye that they're saying comes with this.
I wouldn't be surprised if it just came with like a little dog.
A PVC figurine. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Possibly. Yeah. Well, since it's specifically listed as an Autobot, I'm going to nominate. There's got to be a dog shaped Rise of the Beasts Target Master they could use for this.
Actually, I think there is a wolf.
Yeah. But Chris, I'm not sure if in the thread it says that it's been shelved.
No. Okay. No. So the product number was originally assigned to a Studio Series Buzzworthy Bumblebee Leader reissue. That has been shelved, and the identifying codes reassigned to this.
I'm sorry. The way it read, I apologize. I didn't quite catch the phrasing there. That's my fault.
Yeah.
I love these Optimus Prime special pieces like this. Like, I would have got the 7-Eleven Optimus Prime if it wasn't like $500 when it came out at the time. I know you have one. And I still see one every once in a while.
It was on Mandarake this week for a lot less than that. I skipped it.
I've seen it a couple times and I've been tempted and I skip it. But if it's under $100, you know, I'll jump on a Prime special all the time.
I just wish they would like get back in talks with Pepsi and do a Pepsi Prime off of the Earthrise or the Volvo mold. Like, you know, bring the classics back, man.
Yeah.
I don't care that whole thing flopped real hard in the mid-2000s to where Pepsi literally gave them away to anyone who sent in a bottle cap to try to win it. Yeah, I got one of those too. After cashing in one of those codes and being told, no, you didn't win. And then, like, I think 6 weeks later, one showed up in the mail.
And surprise, you did.
Now that I sold a few years later for a tidy markup, because by then there was no supply of them anymore. And, you know, people wanted them and I had never opened it. So, like, yes, thank you. I will indeed sell this. The other two listings on here are Rescue Bots adjacent. So Classic Heroes Team Optimus Primal. I don't know how this is different from the one that I think we've already seen once. And Classic Heroes Team Mirage.
Well, I mean, the big news there, of course, is G.I. Joe collab.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that, you know, the Cannonball.
I mean, I would say the crossover thing and the Target Optimus Prime are, like, the big items here. And I say that in a list that includes a Dino King set that we've been literally talking about the existence of for a year.
Yeah. So I'm quickly checking the price on that MP711, see if they still have it, what the price was. Maybe I'll have to go back and do some digging. It was not in the last 3 days. Okay. Let's see here. More Super 7 Ultimates figures. Alligator Con.
Yeah, we got in-hand pictures of these.
Cypher posted the pictures. I'm like, Cypher created this?
Not to my knowledge, but, you know. I think if he had, it would look a little nicer.
Yeah, Greg's great. he's very talented.
Yeah. Good pictures, though. Like, from what I've seen so far, I think the Alligator Con probably still is the best looking thing in this wave.
This wave that was supposed to be out, what, a year and a half ago?
Something like that, yeah.
It'll just be nice for the novelty. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect. It's the best Alligator Con we've gotten.
No, so. I think it looks fine as it is. Like, that was not meant to be a backhanded thing. Like, out of what I've seen of this wave so far, this thing looks the most like what was advertised.
I like that it comes with the little tower with the Optimus Prime arm on it.
It comes with a little slug taxi cab thing too. You know, roll around for the, you know, the taxi drones that they had in the episode. I think in the thread, Cypher suggested that the arm and gun, or the arm and the hand, are just from the regular Super 7 Ultimates Optimus Prime. Like, it's the exact same pieces, and the gun I think has molded a new trigger guard or something. So, like, it's mostly reused parts for those elements, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's not literally, they just cast part of that mold, like, it's all CAD assets at this point, so all they had to do is CNC another copy of that in there. So, you know, it makes sense they wouldn't reinvent the wheel, so to speak, to get that included. But yeah, like, was the G2 Megatron in this wave also?
Yeah, it was in the wave with Alligator Con.
Yeah, so I have not seen any pictures of that floating around yet, unfortunately, but, like, depending how that comes out, like, if I was going to get one thing out of this, I was excited about the idea of that G2 Megatron, but, like, the Alligator Con probably supersedes a little if I was going to pick one thing from this wave to eventually get.
Chris, like, right now, Entertainment Earth does have buy one, get one half off in stock action figures.
Yes, and but that does not reduce their shipping costs, unfortunately.
It does, but there is a shipping code that does qualify in stack. I used it this morning.
Oh.
So use the free shipping code that's listed on the front page. I went ahead and got the G1 Megs. I really, just because I wanted to go with the Optimus that I have from the first wave, mm-hmm. and I got G2 Megs. Together was about $82 with free shipping. So that's about $40 a piece.
Right. Which is still too much, but that's
But I'm saying right now, if you want to get one, that's probably going to be the best way to get it and save some money, since the free shipping code does seem to stack.
Yeah.
Diecast, real quick, I just want you to know that MP711 is $218 currently, plus shipping.
Ooh. Yeah, that's...
That shipping is probably going to add on another 5,000 yen,
yeah, I would guess. Not bad,
but
yeah,
still, that's...
Diecast, you need to buy that and have it for next week. So
yeah, you need to get that Diecast. And I'm not saying this to be an enabler. I'm just saying, if you like that MP10 mold, it is a beautiful mold, great accessory colors. The color palette is beautiful.
Yeah.
You at that price, you need to get that.
I'd say shipping from over there has been expensive, though.
Because it's always expensive.
I just shipped a bunch of stuff from Taobao. Would have been $210 to ship by air. So I actually boat shipped for the first time because it was only $60.
The thing is, like, really good price for MP711 to start with. They ship everything out DHL, so you will have it about 5 minutes after you send the money for
They'll also do EMS.
You might have it by the end of the show recording.
But Diecast, I'm being honest. I know you and I have a lot of disagreements on buying stuff. But at that price, even with the shipping, I doubt you will find one domestically.
You'll never find it cheaper than
even
that.
You will kick yourself
if you do not go buy this right.
It is an absolute
on the show.
Gorgeous figure.
Right this moment.
Yeah, Diecast, go try to place that order right now. Yeah,
it's in the chat.
Like, seriously.
Yeah,
this is not just spend Diecast money. Like, seriously, this is
excellent. It's a little bit of that anyway.
It's a little bit of that, but seriously, like, this is an excellent price on that, and you are going to be hard pressed to find that price again. You're not going to get it for any less shipped than that anywhere.
And he does have a paint smudge on his head. So,
very minor.
And Diecast Blade does bring up a good point. Right now, with the yen being equivalent to the dollar, shipping is going to be at one of the best shipping rates you're going to find.
Blade Raider's a good guy. You should listen to him.
Yeah.
Has Blade Raider ever steered you wrong, Diecast?
Never.
I don't think so.
No.
He's... Cool. Reaction Tiger, Tigatron?
Yeah.
Don, do you care?
Yep, that sure is a redeco of Cheetor, huh?
I care, and I like it because I'm a big Tigatron fan. I may get it if I can Dononomics it. It's more for, again, it's the card art, not the toy.
And on that note, now correct me here, but is that not just the same Cheetor art repainted as Tigatron? Did they not even do unique art for this? Because I don't think they did.
I'm going to have to look because I haven't really looked at the Cheetor because I don't care. So I really do not know. So if it is, it doesn't bother me because I don't care about Cheetor. I got the Primal and the Megatron because it was the more chase versions.
Yeah.
And they were on sale.
Yeah, no, I just think, like, If we're coming at this from the angle that, like, the on-card experience, the package art is a big draw to this, I think, like, if that is just recolored existing Cheetor box art as Tigatron, that's severely detracting from any reason to buy this.
So did Don describe that as the more chaste version? Are we describing like half of toy collectors by saying that?
No, chase. Like, the translucent ones are, it's like that. I got that, Alan.
Oh, you said chaste.
No, I said chase.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's his accent. It adds extra T's.
Yeah. I was just making a
really
forced joke. Okay.
Yeah,
so
I caught on to that. It was subtle, but I picked up on that. Good job.
Behind the scenes photos of Tigerhawk from Mark.
I like his photos of this toy. Like, I know there was not a lot of good opinions going around on this Tigerhawk when they revealed it and we talked about it the first time around, but, like, I always thought it looked pretty good, and I still think it looks pretty nice, and I don't know if I want to pay like actual SRP leader price for this, but if I can deal this down a little bit, you know, 45 or under, just a little bit off the top of it, like, I kind of dig what they did here. He goes into detail about how they like tried to match how the deco, they tried to match the deco to how the colors broke down in the show. So you get like the bronze color on some of the parts and the more purpley, what was blue on the original toy is now a much more purple shade. Like, there's a lot of sculpt detail on there too that doesn't really show up unless you get like up close pictures in the right lighting, which he manages to do. Like, this looks really nice in robot mode, and I really appreciate, in a weird way, how they actually made a toy of what Tiger Hawk looked like in the cartoon, which was nothing like what the original toy looked like. Like,
yeah.
This has that weird thing, like some of the Armada updates, where, for me, this can kind of coexist with the original toy because they are entirely different. They're trying to do entirely different things while representing the same original idea. And I kind of like that as like how to do an update of a toy. Don't just, you know, remake it with knees, as the old analogy goes, but like, you know, actually lean into the differences of the media and the original toy. Like, sometimes that works and it hits. And for me, this kind of does.
And now, and one thing, Chris, I'm not a big buyer of third party kits, but I have for some of them a few gap fillers, a few better spoilers, small little things like that.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm thinking for this Tiger Hawk, we're going to see a lot of accessory kits for this. That's going to be your gap fillers. It's going to, and maybe even some weapons closer to the original one. So I'm not saying that's a perfect thing, but I think we're going to be seeing a lot of enhancements to this figure that may make it even better with some of those gaps filled, maybe a couple weapons, better weapons like the cannons and stuff. That's not a little bit more beefy on those cannons, stuff like that.
I mean, you know, it's a taste thing. How big proportionally you want those. Like, I don't think this needs a lot of like physical upgrades, but I would love to see on this, just to like finish out what the deco is doing, is like a light gray paint wash or some dry brushing over the details on the white parts to make them pop a little bit more. Like, nothing like really contrasty, just enough to set those panel lines out. Because like, if you had those, no matter what the lighting was like for the toy, like, you would see all of that surface detailing on there, and I think that would really pick up the like visual appeal of this versus what it just is like out of the box, basically. They did a lot of good work making this look like the cartoon, and I just, like, I wish that the deco had the budget to really, like, emphasize that.
I'm glad that you like it.
Now, will I actually buy it? That's the eventual question, yeah, here.
I'm not planning on it, even though it looks okay.
I feel pretty safe waiting a little bit to see what the prices do, because, like, leaders go through phases. You know, they have their initial phase where they're full price. Sometimes then they sell out for a little while, but like we've barely seen a leader toy that has not gotten a second run at least to fill a case assortment. And definitely when that happens, the price drops on like Amazon, if not other places.
Well, look at Laser Optimus. He was as low as 31. I saw him 31 to 35 a lot of places, and it's the same toy that's coming out in Evolution or whatever the next thing, Legacy, whatever.
Yeah, and you can easily find Galvatron in various flavors on Amazon for about that price range. I think the Selects toy colored Galvatron is even gone under 30. Yeah,
under 30 mm-hmm. bucks for a leader class. Yeah,
and like anybody who does not have that mold or that deco, like if you've got Amazon really Prime, you get the free shipping. You should pick that up for that discount price, because that is a wonderful, wonderful deco on a really good mold. Anyway, last item,
and images of Stranger Things collab Code Red, not bad.
Yeah, so I'm not sure how much this is actually like a retool of Earthrise Ironhide anymore. It certainly clones the engineering, but there's a picture in here of it standing next to Earthrise Optimus, and they are basically the same height. That Earthrise Ironhide was not quite that big.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah. And you said clone engineering, and I think that's right. Like, mm-hmm. it doesn't look like a retool. It doesn't look like it's scaled up.
Right.
It's that whole Energon Starscream
G2 smokescreen thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as tall as it is in that comparison picture, like the arms look noticeably stubby and I kind of dislike that aesthetically, but, for the retail price they're asking for this, for it to be that big in robot mode, like I feel better about the sticker price of it. And like, I feel like I really got a deal on it for the all those Target coupons and stuff I stacked up on this. Like,
yeah, really.
Yeah, I like that this is like a bigger thing than the input engineering implied. I don't know, you know, how much that would have mattered to me ultimately anyway, because I mostly just am interested because it's, you know, an unusual Volkswagen van transformer, yeah, which is a personal interest of mine. But yeah, I'm actually kind of impressed. They seem to have gone to more effort on this than it initially appeared. And initially it appeared that they had just reshelled Earthrise Ironhide, which is no small amount of work itself. So
yeah. It just holds no interest for me.
I understand. I understand.
It's fascinating, especially seeing them side by side. But mm-hmm. like, I've never watched Stranger Things. I have no desire to. I know that's.
Oh yeah, me either.
I just I don't care.
Yeah.
So it's just another random transformer that I don't. Okay. Anybody have any other thoughts on it? Nope. Okay. We're gonna jump to what we got this week. We're making a change this week. So we're going to focus on transformers, but our patrons will get the full what we got this week, including ham sandwiches. So Chris doesn't have anything this week. Diecast, did you have any transformers to talk about this week?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, this is exciting. Don.
Yes, I do have a couple of transformers to talk about this week. I picked up on a impulse, which I'm not sure was a good thing, the TFCon, the Severed Grin, which was their kind of a jokerized version of the Chrome Dome from IDW, because I really like that. That's a very G2 looking figure. I just got it today, so I don't have it open, but I picked that up.
I'm such a natural confluence of characters. I'm amazed nobody thought of it before.
it's just a very G2 looking, like, just like G2 Chrome Dome could be the Joker, which is mainly why I got it, because it's a really neat looking piece. I picked up at Walmart for $5 on clearance the small 7-step changer Scourge with Scorponok that wears the battle armor. It was a $20 toy on clearance for $5. So yeah, I picked that up because it looks neat. The last thing I got on topic is I got mainline Rhinox, and I had him before, but I got this one off eBay that for $17 shipped. I was able to take my other one back that I paid retail for, but this one has had a little bit of custom work done to it. Face sculpt has been picked out a little bit, and his guns have been picked out just a little bit as well.
What do you mean by that, Don? Like they went and highlighted it or traced it or something?
Well, yeah, the person did some light custom work, did a little bit of a paint wash on the face, touched up the guns a little bit so they just pop a little bit more. But the main thing was I got it for like $18 shipped, and I took my $36 one back. Ooh. So, and see, I wasn't even going to keep this Rhinox, because finding that air razor from the 3-pack is very difficult. And now that I picked one up, and now that I found a primal for retail that I talked about a few weeks ago, I now have all the core mainline cast from Rise of the Beasts, and I've got like half the price in this one. So I'm kind of happy with that.
Well, I mean, by the rules of Dynamics, since you got that one for $18 and you took back a $36 one, doesn't that mean that you got that for minus $18?
Not really, no, because I got back what I paid. I didn't. I just spent less for this.
This is heretical Dynamics. Like I this does not compute with my understanding of Dynamics.
Non-Euclidean Dynamics.
Non-Euclidean Dynamics.
Dynamics is an ever-evolving field.
This is floating point Dynamics.
this is 5D Dynamics. That's what this is.
If you get buffer overflow in just the right way, all of your toys are free for life after that. It's just really hard to pull off that glitch.
Cool. Anything else, Don?
On topic, no.
Cool. Matt, anything?
I finally decided to pick up a kickback since I got shrapnel a couple weeks ago. So now
the never-ending search for a bombshell begins.
Oh, I can. If I go to Walmart tomorrow, I can probably get you one if you want it.
If you can, since you got stuff to ship to me anyway, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead and throw that in the pile.
Yeah. I think there was two of them there yesterday, so I will go back tomorrow and see if I can still grab you one.
Sweet. Yeah, that's all I got that's on topic.
Cool. Diecast, did I ask you?
Yep.
You did. Okay.
Yeah, he was the first one you asked.
Sorry. Rob?
I got a couple of on-topic things. That package I think I mentioned last week from Surugaya that I expected would show up the day after the show, it showed up the day after the show.
Roll Thursday.
Yeah, turns out if you search through their American comics section, you can find like English language comic collections for relatively cheap used. And I got the first volume of IDW's Classic Transformers collection. So I didn't have, you know, a modern copy of those before. It, of course, omits the issue with Spider-Man.
Number two, I think?
Four. Three or four. Yeah. Yeah, four.
And Circuit Breaker.
Oh, does it leave that out too?
Yeah, when you get to those, she's also ghosted out like Spider-Man was.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, and then I think they have text in there to explain what's going on.
Yeah, and so I got it for cheap. Like, but it was, I believe, less than $10. So that's, you know, not bad for a book that weighs that much, in my opinion.
Gosh, they're thick.
And brain. Where was I going with that? I still have, in terms of the Spider-Man issue, I still have like the original, like super thin square bound collections that Marvel put out back in the 80s. So,
oh, wow.
My brother's even offered to rebind them for me, which I probably need at this point. So.
Was that a digest edition? Is that what that was?
There was a digest version, I know, but that's not what I have. It was a larger one, but they're very like thin books. They collect like 2-3 issues each. So
it may have one of those. The digest. I need to go back and look.
Yeah,
I've got some Marvel Digest.
Glad to hear Jay has kept up the bookbinding hobby.
He says he'd like to get back to it. So, mm-hmm. If I ever dig those out, I may ask him for help because, I read those to pieces. The other thing I got, because I ordered, they had another free shipping weekend this weekend, and the stuff I ordered actually got here on time for the show this time.
Ooh.
They had DevCon for less than U.S. retail. So,
nice.
That's amazing.
Yeah, brand new in box, $18, and he is really nice. It is a very nice figure, and I do just want to point out that, you know, DevCon was so much better received than Skullgrin. They both transform into nothing, but this is 1986 cartoon accurate nothing.
Yes.
So, you know, that does, I imagine, give it an edge for people. But yeah, it's a really nice figure. Transforms very easily, looks great. That is a beautiful shade of blue, and yeah, I'm really happy with that.
Is it not absurd how well that came out considering what they did to make that?
Yeah, like you can barely even tell it's
right
from that mold family. It's
it's amazing.
I mean, this is probably my deluxe of the year when we get to the year in review, just because
not the year in review.
Which is not that far away.
It was not that far away. But just because they made a one appearance character so show accurate, it's beautiful. It's just absolutely one of the best renditions of a character they pulled from screen. It looks just like it.
It sucks for Beachcomber, though, because being in the same wave of that made Beachcomber really forgettable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Beachcomber.
I like the previous Beachcomber, so I kind of held off on
it's pretty much the same toy, just bigger.
Okay, yeah, well, that's and a positive.
Slightly less elegant.
Mm. Well, you know, I'm slightly less elegant than I was 5 years ago, too, so that's fine.
You know, you make a very good point.
But that is all the on-topic stuff I have got for this week.
Cool. Okay, so what I got last week, Don got the Retro Perceptor. And I didn't recognize that it existed. Well, mine shipped like the next day from Walmart. It's okay. You know, the colors are weird. It's actually kind of weird. It's just generally something is just feels off about it. I don't
Are they online only now?
Are they? I don't know.
That's what I'm asking, because I've been to both of my Walmarts and haven't seen anything anywhere recently.
Yeah, I think the reissues have been eliminated from the planograms.
Ooh. Well, this one came quickly, so if you are wanting it, go to walmart.com and look. So it may not last much longer.
It may also end up being scented candles. You never know.
Yeah. That's true.
Does the
microscope
still work? Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not like
as well as it ever did.
As well as it ever did. Yeah.
I think, actually, Titan's Return Perceptor's microscope might work a little bit better than the G1
probably.
Version. Yeah.
Well, the tooling's probably. Not 40 years old, so probably.
Right, and the tooling technology is also superior, so...
Like, yeah. I don't know that they're using... maybe...
Sadly, that tooling is, like, 8 years old at this point.
Matt, I will fight you. Stop reminding me of the passage of time.
I don't know.
If not nine.
I don't know that the optics are on. I think the optics are probably made separately. I wouldn't be surprised if they are like bespoke for each time the toy is released. Maybe I'm wrong. So the optic, like the shape of the lens is probably what's more important when it comes to how the quality of the microscope.
Oh, absolutely.
It could be completely wrong, but like I would just imagine. They have to recreate those every time.
Yeah, that would actually be an interesting thing to try to find out. Unfortunately, the Hasbro people that we occasionally have access to talk to would have no idea about that.
No idea. So a couple other things I got. I think I mentioned this last week. I got, this one is open, but it is a Metals Optimus Primal.
Ooh, sweet.
Yeah. I'm trying to buy mostly boxed. It's just vintage. I guess it's considered vintage.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It is vintage.
Yeah. So box vintage toys.
When Godfire Convoy can legitimately have an encore re-release, anything that came before it is vintage.
Yeah. So I have a boxed Transmetals Optimus Primal. It's not sealed, but the Metals toys look so much better in packaging. And with the plastic shell, they hold their shape. The position in box and just like the cars in the past always did a much better job when it came to like collector friendly packaging. So I got that. Not sealed, but no, sealed. That one's loose. That one's open. Sealed. And Rob got this a couple weeks ago. I got Metals Megatron.
Oh, nice.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. My Transmetals Megatron, I'm pretty sure is sealed. But now I have this to go with it. So it'll look nice on the shelf beside of it.
Yeah, it's a shame because like the real beauty of Metals Megatron is the robot mode because like Transmetal Megatron, it pains me to acknowledge this, but there who are watching right now who probably have never handled or maybe even seen the Transmetal Megatron toy, the body of that is brown. The robot mode body is just like very brown plastic. In the show, Megatron was like a charcoal gray to black color. The Metals version gets that totally right because it came out like a year later. Like Metals Megatron is just a beautiful toy up and down. And as far as we know, it will not snap in half on you like Transmetal Megatron will. So.
Well, this one won't because I'm never opening it.
Well, yes. And your Hasbro Transmetal Megatron is equally safe. But it's just to me, it's a pity because like you're missing out on the real beauty of that toy. The
pack is great, though. I do have my original that is in one piece. So.
Oh, okay.
My
original Hasbro or original Takara?
Hasbro. I want.
Okay, you're losing out.
Yeah. But I was going to say I almost said my childhood.
Oh,
like I was definitely an adult when that came out. So,
well, you know, late childhood.
Yeah. So, second childhood, and last thing I got.
I think you're in that now. I guess, or maybe it's right. Third or fourth.
Yeah. Second. Last thing I got was a box, not sealed. Skylinks. G1 Skylinks.
Nice.
Ah.
So again, I'm trying to go through and complete my G1 collection, and I already had a Skylinks, but it was reissue, and I had a vintage Skylinks that I parted ways with years ago in a purge, and I'm like, well, like right now, basically, if I'm buying, there's not that many G1 toys that I have left that I need, and especially if it's a larger one, I'm trying to get it in the box. So I saw this. I'm like, yeah, I'll get it. It was pretty reasonably priced. Toy's in nice shape. It has all the paperwork. Stickers are applied, but it has the sticker sheet. And it has the little cardboard insert hold the toy in plate, toy in place in the box in the styrofoam. So it's pretty decent. It'll look good on the shelf. So that is something that I now have, and I can mark it off my list. A couple other toys that G1 that I only have a reissue of. Fortress Maximus, come himself. So I need to get replace that. Again, I had the original, but I got rid of it in a purge. Chronicon, for whatever reason, the only Chronicon that I have, the original Deco. Of course, I have God Neptune and the BotCon.
Collector's Club.
Yeah, but like the one that the Chronicon that I have is the 2011, 2013 Big Bad Toy Store release. So I need to correct that. And of all things, Smokescreen. Like I have the Toys R Us reissue of it, but I don't have an original. So over the next year or so, I'm going to replace all of those, get the original. There's a really nice, set, on box set on Artfire 2000 right now of the Piranacon that the King Poseidon that I really, really tempted by, but I'm going to hold off and hopefully it won't sell. But that's what I got this week. I want to thank our patrons at patreon.com/TFRadio. Patrons get RFC a day early, ad free, a higher bit rate, a weekly Patreon exclusive pre-show podcast, unedited episodes of RFC, which now as long as we keep this format, that'll be every week, not only including the ham sandwiches, but also content that's too hot for RFC. Hot five a week early, and I swear that I'm working on getting those posted. Patrons at the touch tier get to be on hot five, and touch patrons also get to be mentioned on the show each week and listed at tfradio.net/credits. I want to thank Kevin Dorsey, Tiger Forces Ninja Consultant, Jason Hiley, Eric Griffin, Rick Mahurin, Ryan Bona, Emmett Stresovich, Rabbits, Hector Bones, Joey Russell, Sean Williamson, Spider Bob, Jay Klein Rye, Sean Hamilton, Jacob Owen Lucia, and Sean Bratton. Thank you all so much. If you want to be a patron at patreon.com/TFRadio and hear the ham sandwiches each week, go ahead and sign up. It's worth it. Okay. Rob Springer's not here, but he's at RoboRobSpringer on Twitter. By the time you're hearing this, you should have the newest episode of Transform Squadron in your feed. So I should hopefully have that posted same day this comes out. So, but it'll be just before. He's also on Blue Sky. We decided that zone base.
Yes. Yeah.
Awesome. John DeLuna not here. He's at that John D basically everywhere, but he did not give me a permission to do this, but he also didn't say not to on eBay. He's at Cloudburst and he's had a lot of great stuff for sale. I need a new eBay handle because I don't like mine, but like when I start posting stuff, I'll probably share that as well. let's see here. I am at BrianKilby.com and my time is running out to do any Christmas music this year. I'm honestly currently not planning on doing anything, but I'm certain like the weekend of Thanksgiving.
It's tradition, Brian.
Yeah, I need to do something. So I've got to do something. So
plumb back through the archives and put out a greatest hits compilation.
Did it last year.
Well, damn.
I did that in addition to a new album because like the new album is getting no traction. And I'm like, crap. So I just released. I did a greatest hits.
Now when we remaster
the original.
Yeah, when we say remix traction it. Here, Brian, what are we actually talking about in terms of performance? It
downloads,
yeah.
I don't remember the numbers, but it was like substantially less than normal.
Okay.
Yeah. Everything's at BrianKilby.com, and what little posting I'm doing is mostly on Facebook, to be honest, or Instagram. But I'm also at kilby.bsky.social on Blue Sky. Let's see here. Rob, how do people get a hold of you?
I can be found on Blue Sky at robflails.bsky.social. Ostensibly, that is connected to my YouTube channel, Flailthroughs. It's more just personal rambling at the moment, but that I tend to have that problem with social media accounts, even when they're supposed to be for official. If you want to see what I'm up to, on YouTube, youtube.com/flailthroughs. I'm still covering Gundam Battle Operation 2. I have missed, I think, maybe 2 days in the 5 years that the game has been out. And oddly, not the ones that I was hospitalized either. But the yeah, game's still going. New mobile suit every week, so check out Thursday mornings to see the update and see what's there. And I have a Patreon for that if you want to support it, patreon.com/flailthroughs, and you can make requests of the game, you know, specific suits, color schemes, weapons, whatever. And if you'd like to just send me something, first off, thank you. And secondly, tfradio.net/claylist. I have an Amazon wish list that also helps support the show if any purchases are made from it.
Chris. I am on social media on Blue Sky at ChrisRTXV. You can find the work I've done on the internet at playwithphotography.com. I have old galleries there, articles I wrote, things like that. If you want to send me something, the holidays coming up, if you feel moved to, you know, think of me as you do your shopping, my wish list is at tfradio.net/chrislist. And like Rob said, thank you very much if you do, you know, include me like that. Like, that's amazing. People have been super generous with that for all the years that we've had those wish lists publicized through the podcast. And like, it wows me every time, like every year when the season goes by and my birthday comes by and goes, like the generosity of people, just because like I'm some guy talking on the internet that you kind of like what I have to say, like, that's great. Thank you all so much for that over the years. If you choose to do that again this year, that's great. But like, thank you. Just in general, thank you for doing that. I think that's it. Elf on the Shelf Warmer too. Do that.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah.
Matt.
I already did Elf on a Shelf Warmer. Thank you very much.
Good.
But melvar.bsky.social. That's with 3 L's and 2 R's.
Don?
I am reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4 EVR. I also have a wish list if you would like to take a look at that. tfradio.net/Don list. We've added a few things lately. Just more like, what were we looking at? Oh, put it on the list so we can remember. So not everything on the list, like the $500 entertainment center, that's not on there for y'all. It's just there to remind us that it's where it was and which one we were looking at.
Unless somebody's feeling really generous to send Don a $500 entertainment center.
I'm saying, you know, if I have enriched your lives that much with bad puns and Donomics, then feel free. But
anyone on this show would get sent a $500 gift from Amazon, it would be Don.
Yes. Yeah,
well, Matt, Hank loves the cat cabinet you sent us. He hides in there all the time and slings his poop and makes us clean up everything, you know, because cats.
Excellent.
When he's not using me as a cat tree, because I did post a picture. I came home, walked in the door. He jumped off the TV stand about a 5 foot five foot diagonal leap and landed on my shoulders and just looked at me.
Aww. Don, I don't see a $500 entertainment center on you.
Okay, I might have put on the wrong list then.
Yeah, you need to fix that.
Or someone bought it already.
Yeah. Cool. Diecast.
You can follow me on Twitter at Diecast2. I'm also Blue Sky Diecast2, like my Facebook page at Refused by Diecast. You can also see me at Legends Con December 9th and 10th, which is Cherry Hill, New Jersey. It's the same place they have NJCC, but it's a 2-day convention. That's why it's the 9th and 10th. That's pretty much it for me.
Oh, cool. Okay, so important PSA. Eli Roth's Thanksgiving is currently an 88 on Rotten Tomatoes. I will be going to see that Sunday with Triplett. So everyone should go see that. We'll see you next week. Happy Thanksgiving. That's next week.
That's scary.
Bye, y'all.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?
Save big this summer with great deals. All in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of flavorful Kroger 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound. Then buy two, get two free on select varieties of delicious Doritos, Tostitos, or Ruffles chips, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.